the podcast does a great job of adding that layer of trust, because we're in the modern day now that seeing somebody and understanding their personality really, really helps connect you. So some of these people are coming in when they contact us, and they've already kind of started trusting us. They haven't even talked to us. It's because they see on the website, they see on the podcast that these guys are a couple guys who know what they're talking about.
I'm Garrett Lale. Welcome to the Advisor Advocates Podcast, bringing the latest industry trends and best practices to financial advisors from leaders of the top firms in the financial services industry.
And thanks for joining me. I'll introduce you really quick to viewers or listeners out there. Ed Meek, the founder and CEO of Edge Financial Advisors in Wheaton, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. Ed was actually, you and James were the guests on, I believe, the very first episode of the Advisor Advocates Podcast. We did the spotlight on your firm. So thanks for joining me, man. Happy Good Friday to you.
Yeah, you as well. It's actually Friday and it's Good Friday, so... It is a quieter day here in the office because, the W-2 employees are off.
Yeah. Markets are closed today, right? Or are they open? Are.
Yep. Okay. They're closed today. Yeah. So.
I thought they were. Well, I appreciate you offering up your light day to chat with me. I'm sure there's other things you could have done today besides record a podcast. So I appreciate it. So wanted to have you on today. I've done a couple of episodes on the podcast about marketing. And marketing is a big topic for financial advisors from a variety of angles. Some advisors would like to be better at marketing, or some advisors know they should be doing more in marketing and to grow their practices. And some are successful in their marketing efforts. And I know that you have done quite a bit on the marketing side. And it's been very successful. So I wanted to have you on to kind of share your experience with it, kind of starting from like the beginning of when you – I imagine that the success you're having with your marketing now is quite a bit more than the success you had kind of early on. So maybe as much as anything, words of encouragement to advisors who are maybe first getting started. There's some bumps in the road to having a successful marketing strategy. But just wanted to give you, have you come on to share some of your experiences with that. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, you said a couple of things there that, first of all, I'm not sure anyone like thinks they're in an incredible place when it comes to marketing. It's a ever evolving, changing thing. I mean, the way people market today is so different than when I got the company started. And truthfully, in reality, I did virtually none. I thought I was doing it for 15 years. I mean, we've been around 20 years now. And I'd say the last 5+ years is when I've tried to make it more of a focus. And it's been done in a variety of ways. I really kind of look at it as, there's a variety of spokes that we're trying to implement and do, because marketing isn't just one thing. It's a variety of things, and they all kind of complement each other. At least that's the way we're doing it.
So when you first, you said about 5 years ago, you started to really make it more of a focus. What were some of the first attempts to increase that? And maybe what was the, kind of take me back to the thought process of that. I mean, that led you to say, okay, we really want to be more committed to marketing. Because I was kind of the same way. I mean, I remember very, very early in my career, first 2-3 years, I sat down with somebody that was, they did marketing for somebody that I knew. And I just sat down and had a consultation with them. And they kind of gave me some ideas. And I dabbled around with some things here and there, and maybe for a month or two. And then I completely dropped it and went to, something else.
Yeah.
But what was the process, I guess, of getting to a point where you said, okay, we really need to be committed to this? And what did those first couple of iterations look like?
Yeah, I'll probably go back. I start the company 20 years ago. My history was I was a financial advisor at Fidelity Investments and pretty successful. Was taking care of the higher net worth clients. Fidelity was set up in a way where you didn't like bring in your own clients. They huge. And so they had this marketing system where you get clients a variety of different ways. And so I never had to market myself when I was there. So that wasn't a skill set that I had at all. So when I started the company, though, my idea was to be able to provide a comprehensive financial planning experience for clients that I couldn't do when I was at Fidelity. When I was at Fidelity, they I was a quarterback that helped kind of say, oh, Mr. and Mrs. Client, you love trading and I know you do stuff on your own. And so here we have these resources. Oh, you actually like do most of it on your own, but you want help with like bonds. Well, we have this. And so I was a person who kind of helped them find out where at Fidelity or outsource, could we help? And I was fortunately successful. So I did it for their higher net worth clients. But I never had to do any marketing. And so when I went out on my own, the idea was, I think these clients would like the kind of experience, or some of them, which is very comprehensive financial planning and money management, which is, I couldn't do that at Fidelity. So that's how I started. And that's how I started the business and grew the business, was with that. And then fortunately, the first handful of years, some of those clients came over, and then I started, you know, we were pretty good at what we did. So we got referrals. And this was very typical of how advisors will grow. Some of them are better at it than others, and some of them aren't. And that's a completely different skill set. There's two skill sets of an advisor. There's the hunter, and then there is the actual planner or financial advisor, kind of the nuts and the bolts and how you implement what you do. Very, very different, right? Completely different skill sets.
It's the hunter and the cook.
That's
somebody
right.
Somebody goes out and hunt the food and somebody else has to cook it. Yeah.
Right. So then I would have to admit, you know, over the course of time, I thought I was doing more of like, I was trying to do a decent job of bringing in new clients. But truthfully, when I look back, my company kept growing because we were good at what we did and some clients liked us. I wasn't even that good at asking referrals, but we would get some referrals. You know, I lived in the same town and gotten to know a lot of people. So therefore, I get some people that way. And so, you know, we grew too nicely in that way. And then, you know, I tried a variety of different business ventures and they never worked. And so really it was like 7 years ago, 8 years ago, one of the business ventures, I had always had Edge, but I had done this, you could be what's called duly registered, where you can be an advisor somewhere else. And I was an advisor for another company and helped them kind of grow the Midwest brand, you know, area of their company. And I thought that was going to be a good thing and it didn't work out. So when I stopped that, it's like maybe 6-7 years ago, I said, all right, what do I want to do? All right. I was in my late 40s. The company was fairly successful. I was making a decent living and things were good, but I was pretty scared, to tell you the truth. Like, I was like, I've been doing this for a while and a lot of my clients are getting older and I keep bringing in new clients, but it's not like at a rapid rate where I was like, man, this, you know, if I have a handful of clients that die and I don't bring in some, you know, this company could kind of struggle. So what do I want to do? So I took a step back and I said, what I would really like to do is I could continue to take on more clients. I had a staff of 3 people supporting me and my clients and it was working, but I didn't see getting super excited about doing that going forward as much as how we helped clients. I thought we were better at it than most. There's some advisors who were great at it, and I think we were one of them. We managed money fairly well, and we did really, really good financial planning. So I said, you know, I would like to grow by bringing in other advisors where they could have this experience where they could focus on either bringing in more clients and or taking care of their clients and not worry about the portfolio management, not worry about all the filling out the forms and the service work, not worry about anything other than just focusing on those 2 things. I felt like I had created it well enough for myself that we could do that for others. So that was my thought. And on top of it, I'm now going to start really focusing on what can I do other than just growing by referrals. And so what fell in place was I was fortunate enough that there's a gentleman that I had come across who's now a partner, James, the gentleman that, you know, we did the first podcast with. He became a partner. He joined about 5 years ago. And at that point in time, I hired an outsourced marketing company. They revamped our website. I'd always thought about doing a podcast. So James and I started the podcast, which you've seen that we've been doing now for 4 years or so. And so that kind of put me on the path of marketing. So bringing in other advisors isn't marketing per se. But then I also made it a focus of buying books of business from advisors who either right away wanted to get out or eventually wanted to get out within a few years. And so I hired some people to kind of find them for me. Since then, in the last 5 years, we bought two small books of business, and they have, you know, all these clients. It wasn't a ton. It was like about 40 each where we brought those clients in. And so the way that we have been growing is the podcast, is buying books of business. And now at the beginning of this year, I now hired internally a part-time marketing person who is working with each of the advisors to help them come up with a customized marketing plan for them. So for example, myself, I now am focusing on business owners. I'm a business owner. I'm going to start a podcast that's different than the other one that's focused on talking to experts who help business owners to be able to provide options for them to know that these services exist. Because a lot of times business owners are awesome at what they do, but there's a lot of areas that are like, hey, I could be doing better at this and this, and how do I make the value of my company better? And so that she's working with me specifically on how am I going to make this podcast. Now, not everybody's going to want to do a podcast. That's fine. James is working with her on how is he going to get more clients in certain ways. And so I have another gentleman who's a hunter. He's primarily a hunter. He focuses on his network, and also he actually has a couple athletes, professional athletes, that he's focusing on other athletes, and she's helping him with a marketing plan around that. And so that's what I mean by a number of different spokes in the marketing plan is coming up with a platform that people can use where we take care of everything so you can just bring in business and take care of your clients.
So I know that I think I had a conversation with James a couple of months ago, and he mentioned that at this point from the podcast and just other spokes of that wheel, you're having new business starting to come to you as opposed to, you know, when I first started in this, I mean, it was going around cold calling, knocking on doors, networking events. I mean, it was just a lot of boots on the ground, you know, finding your own clients. And my understanding from the conversation with James, you're reaching a point now where you're getting, you know, having people start to reach out to you from your marketing efforts and at a pretty high rate to where you almost now are looking for more advisors to service the new business that you're getting as opposed to, you know, trying to go out and, you know, have your advisors going out and finding new clients. I know you have, you know, your hunters obviously also, but where was the inflection point there of, okay, we're doing all this work and we're not seeing any return on it? Because I think that's the thing that the last episode I did was with a vice president of marketing for a firm that I do some work with. And, chief marketing officer of a firm that I do some work with. And we were talking a lot about where a lot of advisors, I think, struggle in marketing is we turn on the switch and we think it's just going to instantly, you know, we run the ad in the paper or we do the billboard or we do a podcast or whatever. We put it out to the world and we think we're going to go viral and have, you know, 100 clients come in the first month, and it just doesn't happen that way. But what was the inflection point for you and what did it look like? Did it start, you know, you flip a switch and then all of a sudden one day things start happening, or was it kind of a trickle before it turned into a flow?
Yeah, it was definitely the latter. So the podcast I don't know if we've ever gotten anyone just because they like somehow randomly saw our podcast and called us and said, I want to work with you. But what the podcast has done is it's created this ability for anybody who knows who we are will go, like, it's just natural. Like if you find out, whether it's through a current client says, hey, you should check out, talk to Ed or James or whoever, you should check them out. Like, what's the first thing that everybody does now? I mean, the first thing almost 95% of the time is go to the website. So you got to make sure you got a clean, solid, attractive, explains what you're doing website. So they go there, and then sometimes they'll see that we have a podcast. So they'll click on it. And then we're on all the podcast platforms, but you can watch the podcast right there on the website. And so what the podcast became initially, and it still is even more so, is it's this validator. So anyone who learns about us in any way usually eventually gets to that point. And we're in the trust business. that's, you know, all of you in the audience, the people who came to you usually is because in some way, shape, or form, they decided they're going to trust you because they got to trust somebody. And the podcast does a great job of adding that layer of trust, because we're in a in the modern day now, the seeing somebody and understanding their personality really, really helps connect you. So some of these people are coming in when they contact us and they've already kind of started trusting us. They haven't even talked to us. It's because they see on the website, they see on the podcast that these guys are a couple guys who know what they're talking about. I joke. I am no Joe Rogan, but our podcast is good enough where people go, yeah, I can connect those guys. Like, those, they know what they're talking about. They seem to be pretty good guys. And psychologically, people usually don't go, oh, I talked to three advisors and that one seemed like they're going to get me a way better rate of return than that one. And they seem like they really blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, first of all, you have to come across as professional. Of all advisors that work with us that start working with the clients, if they don't have their CFP, we would really like them to get their CFP because that creates a professionalism. And so I'd say the podcast was a great starter and it's a good base and it doesn't bring in lots of clients just because of the podcast. But now we're interviewing professionals that are in different industries. We're going to eventually have everyone that's an advisor here work and do their own podcast where we interview them. So they kind of have their own, like, here's who I am, you know, when they come to the website. And so that's one piece. And then the other is we're not really 100% sure, but because of what we're putting out on just regular LinkedIn and because we're doing the podcast, for some reason, when people type in and financial advisor near me, our name pops up a lot more than it used to. And people do start checking that out now. Years ago, I never thought that would happen, but they do. And then when they go to our website, then they come across these things. And so that is one of the primary reasons why we're getting this flow. Now, you know, we're certainly getting more of a flow, but it's not like we're getting gazillions of people. But, you know, I never used to get any. And now we're getting a couple a month. So, yeah. You know, it's a series of all the different things are contributing to it. And I think we're not even doing like as many good things as, I mean, there's more things that we can do that I think will continue to aid that by utilizing, you know, some of these channels a little bit more than we have with this marketing person. She's helping us look at doing that as well.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with the financial services, especially, is such a trust business, right? I mean, we're in the money business, we're in the trust business probably as much as anything because of the nature of what we do. And one of the things you explained beautifully right there is something that I talk to a lot of advisors about. So my business, I work with firms like Edge to help try to hopefully spread your story and your experience with other advisors, but also help advisors start their own podcasts. So this is something that I'm have a lot of conversations about this. And one of the things I always explain to advisors kind of early on in the process is when I get the question a lot, what kind of success will I see from this? You know, advisors are very ROI focused, right? If I'm going to spend this money, I'm getting it back. And I explained to them, it's easy to think of it in terms of like the big picture law of large numbers view of it and say, okay, we're going to try to get 100,000 subscribers. And then that's going to lead to, you know, 50,000 listens per episode. And then that's going to lead to 500 website visits. And that's going to lead to 50 clients. And, you know, there's that ambitious approach of it. And there is a possibility that it goes that way. But the way that I see podcasts especially, or any other type of video marketing work most effectively and really the quickest, even for my own podcast, this podcast, is the way you described it. They go, it's somebody that was already a warm lead, you might consider, or somebody, maybe you've even had a meeting with them one time, and during that meeting, you uncover something, you say, actually, we did a podcast episode where we talked about that. Here's the link to it. Go check it out. And what a podcast does, and a lot of your marketing efforts will do, it's not to turn someone who has never heard of Edge into a client right away because they were one of the 100,000 listeners. It's turning that person who was between Edge and another firm, and they chose Edge because they had an ability to get to know you better through the podcast. And podcasting or video marketing, it gives you such a better opportunity for the consumer, the listener, to get to know you than a website does. A website's just writing. It's just words and pictures, and it's a way to read the story. But a podcast shows your personality. It shows, you know, it shares with the listener a lot more than just what a website is going to show, and gives them a chance to figure out, are you someone that they can trust, and are you their kind of guy? You know what I mean? Everybody's looking for different things in all their relationships, business relationships, personal relationships, and it just kind of helps them get to know your personality better to see, is this, you know, do I jive with this group? Do we connect?
Yeah, 100% agree. You know, the podcast is a great validator, as I said, but it's not necessarily, it's like a tool that helps the people that we're trying to target, because what we're trying to do is get them to a place where they, again, can trust you. But I will say that each of the advisors that are here, their focus is different on who they want to work with. And the great thing is we're creating kind of these, you know, marketing plans for them, specifically what they're trying to accomplish. But a lot of these tools can be used universally. And you don't even have to like be doing a podcast. It's not like everybody has to do a podcast, because some people aren't going to be that comfortable, you know, getting on camera. But let's face it, I mean, most of us eventually get comfortable enough. I mean, we're all doing Zoom meetings. We're all doing what we're doing right here. And so, you know, everybody should be fine being able to at least getting something out there where in a professional way, they can get to know who you are. And the old way of doing business is harder and harder, where you're just knocking on doors, and you could still be okay if you're pretty dynamic, but if you can complement it with some of these other things, that's when you could probably take the next step.
How do you and James with the Ed's Edge podcast, how do you come up with the topics that you're going to go over? Because that's a question that I get from a lot of advisors, specifically with podcasting, is, you know, trying to figure out what they're going to talk about. What's that process look like for you guys?
Well, there's a couple of different ways. One is, you know, there's certain things that we do well, or we do that might be a little different, or that we think are important. And so we have, you know, we use what's called Slack, which is like an internal like messaging system. And we have one channel, it's called the podcast channel. And anytime we have an idea that pops in our head, and everybody at the company does, they just put it in there. So we kind of have this list of ideas. And then from time to time, when we get together, we start discussing it, you know, like, all right, well, here's one. Do we like it? No, we don't. But we might like this one. And if we did, let's do it this way. And so we're always kind of keeping the end user in mind of what are things that we do and how we help clients and communicate to clients that's helpful, that helps them. And so we try to come up with topics that people are constantly thinking about. That's one way. Or, you know, some of them are like we specialize, like James and I specialize in at the company, what are called defined benefit plans. These are plans that are these extra type of retirement plan on top of 401k, where a business owner can put in a tremendous amount of extra money pre-tax. Not a lot of advisors know about it, but we do. And so, you know, we've done specific podcasts just around that. We've interviewed experts in that area. So there's a segment of marketing that we do towards those types of audiences of business owners. And now they can go to a podcast and see one or two of these podcasts and realize we are experts at that. And so we would continue to do that with other advisors, and what areas can they provide expertise? So it's a few different ways that we do it, but a lot of them, if you go and look at our podcasts, are just questions that people are asking themselves all the time of, boy, what is financial planning? You know, I know, the audience we're talking to knows, we know what financial planning is. But a majority of America who's saving for retirement or needs to retire soon or within the next 5 or 10 years, they kind of know what it is. It's kind of opaque. They know that they need to figure out planning for retirement, but they don't know exactly what it means. Well, we did a podcast that specifically lays out, here's what it really is. And people, like, that's an appealing thing for people. They're like, oh, okay, I understand. That kind of makes sense. You don't know what you don't know. And so we're trying to create different podcasts to help people. And some people are do-it-yourselfers, and this is just going to be helpful for them. But really what it's doing is it's creating in these people's prospects' minds that we do know what we're talking about. Like, we are helpful. We're giving them helpful ideas already. And most people are going to be like, yeah, I don't want to do that on my own. And so maybe I'll call Edge.
Yeah. One of the ideas that you've mentioned today that I really applaud and I think I'm excited for you is the new podcast that you're going to start that's focusing on business owners. Because I think that's something, the more you can identify who your audience is, for the advisor that you have that is specifically kind of focusing on athletes, that gives him an opportunity, if he were to choose to, say, start his own podcast, to do a podcast all around financial planning for athletes, just the way you can do financial planning for business owners. Some people may do, you know, financial planning for professionals in the medical industry. There's a lot of different niches that advisors can find. So my question, though, is sometimes I know when I was first getting started, I heard a lot of people talk about finding your niche. And I was basically just trying to brainstorm niches that I could go after. Right. Mm-hmm. Or yep. What I've experienced sometimes is sometimes it's better to you find your niche naturally by just doing your job and seeing who you do the best job with and who you connect with better. And then I'm sure other folks may go out and actively try to seek a niche or decide they want to get into one. So I guess I'm just kind of curious from your side, how did you get to the point of saying, okay, business owners is where I want to spend my time and my focus, and then maybe speak to the benefits of having your content specifically talking to that audience?
So I have a coach who I've been working with for 12, 14 years. And she's helped me learn run my company better in a variety of ways. And one area that she was trying to help me in regarding marketing was a little, slow. That's why I only got going at this, like 7 years ago, was she specifically spoke to this and said, the companies and the advisors and the people who grow the most have a niche. Right. We've all heard that. I mean, this is not new news. And she eventually said, like, hey, what you got to do is you just got to start trying, there was one time I was trying. I had two clients that were in the M&A space, meaning they were the middleman that would help a big company buy small companies. And they both happened to be in the industries. One was technology and the other was the paper industry. I said, well, man, this seems like a great niche. I mean, these people who like do this, when they help one company buy another company, they get $500,000, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million pop. They make that kind of money. I'm like, man, that would be a good, it makes sense. It'd be a good niche. So I started, I went to an M&A conference and I started talking to some people. And then eventually I realized, this is a good niche. It's a long-term play. You got to get enough of them. And then also, like, I wasn't like super passionate about it. So I stopped that one. And so she said, you might have a natural niche with some of the people you're helping. Let's explore that and focus on that and expose that. That could be one thing. But also, like, you might have a passion for something. There might be an area like this defined benefit plan. I did my first one for a client who's a doctor, and he was making a lot of money. He had his own practice. He wasn't connected to a firm. And when I figured it out, I have another client who actually provides the actuarial services for these defined benefit plans. And he said, are you doing this for your clients? And I was like, huh? Like, I didn't even know that much about it. And then he started showing me the benefits. I was like, oh my gosh, this is pretty amazing. So I turn around and I go to this one client of mine and I explain it to him. And then when I started doing the numbers, I was like, this guy's been putting away now for about 7-8 years, $200,000 a year extra. And I figured out he's going to retire 2 years earlier than he was going to, because he's saving 40% in taxes. I was like, how do you not get excited about that? How do you not get excited about, like, telling somebody, if we're able to do this for you, you might be able to retire 1 or 2 or 3 years earlier. So it's something that I'm very passionate about. And that's an area of marketing we focus on. Now, me personally, getting to the business owners, I'm a business owner. I know of a variety of things that I've implemented over time that's helped my business in a variety of different ways. And I started thinking, man, there's even more and more and more. And I've learned more about them recently. And that's the case for all of us. We all have our own story. We all have our certain passions. We all have things that we love doing. I mean, I love pickleball now. Like, I've taken it up in the last few years. I'm addicted to it. I've tried to think of ways, like, how can I maybe focus on business owners that are connected to pickleball or something? Like, I might interview people in that field. I don't know, maybe. As you know, I love food. I'm a foodie. I like cooking. I'm not a chef. When I was a kid or in high school, I thought maybe I wanted to be a chef. And then I realized, I don't want to do that. It seems like too much work standing all the time and all that. But I do love cooking. And so then I was like, well, maybe I could like work with chefs or something. I don't know. And so I think what we do is we figure out, people figure out like, what is it that they want to target, try it. And if it doesn't work, then you just move on. You could try something else. And that's what my coach encouraged me to do. And that's what I've taken. And it's worked for me. And that's what I would encourage other people, you know, who are financial advisors to do as well, because you want to wake up in the morning and you want to actually be kind of excited. Like, I'm excited to provide business owners some helpful advice. And then maybe they'd be like, you know what? Maybe Ed would be a good guy to talk to. He could probably help me out.
Well, you mentioned you're a foodie. And yeah, one of my favorite little elements of the Ed's Edge podcast is your food for thought. And as we were just sitting here talking, I thought of that. And I don't usually have a food for thought suggestion, but I will throw one in there as a plug and a little nod to the Ed's Edge podcast. I went to Jersey Mike's the other day, and they have a new hot honey chicken Philly that did not sound like I like chicken Phillies. I like spicy. I didn't see spicy honey I didn't see that one coming. You know what I mean? So I was like, oh, that'll be pretty good. That thing has got a pretty solid kick to it. If you like spice, it took me two of these bottles of water right here to get a large sub. So there you go. There's an unsponsored plug for Jersey Mike's and their chicken Philly, their hot honey chicken Philly.
Well, I'll tell you, James is going to love hearing that, because James, there is no one in this world that loves just submarine sandwiches or just sandwiches for lunch. Like, that guy, he seeks it out. Where our office is at now, we've got a place down the street, but we used to be near a Jersey Mike's, and he would be there all the time. So it's on his way home. So I'm going to tell him about it, and he's probably going to be pretty excited. So I love hearing it. You know, what you're referring to is in my podcast, at the end of each one of my podcasts, I throw on a chef hat and I either share a great recipe, which I've blown through every good recipe I've had because we've had a lot of podcasts, or like a great meal or a great restaurant that has really good meals, just because it's fun, because it's fun for me. And most people do enjoy a good meal. And some people have used the recipes and said they love it. So it's fun because it's something that I love.
I was going to ask, have you had some feedback on those before? I'm curious. So you've had people reach out or people you've talked to that said, yeah, they checked out the recipes or checked out the restaurants and they were a hit. Have you ever had any bad feedback? Have you ever had somebody that say that stunk? I don't know why you told me to make that.
No, I haven't had that. I don't know how many people are using them all the time, but definitely it's interesting because it's actually a slight marketing tool too, in that people will be like, I'll make it. Maybe people who aren't clients, people that I come across, or I'll mention, hey, you know, like one of them is just, it's silly. It doesn't sound like it would be good, but I don't know, man. It's good. It's this broccoli that you bake, but you bake it to the point of where it gets like black. I mean, not all the way black, but like it's crispy black. And something happens right near the end where, like, if you bake broccoli, it tastes decent. But if you bake broccoli to where it starts shrinking a little bit and it gets crispy, not everybody loves it, but a lot of people like it. It's weird. And so what I'll do is, when I mention like food, because I'm talking about it with people, I'll be like, oh, that recipe's on my website here, and I'll give them the link to my podcast. So indirectly, I'm kind of making I'm doing a marketing play, because not all these people are clients, and they might not be a client, but they might refer it to somebody. And so it's kind of a word of mouth. It just happened to be something I love. And so more people are getting exposed to Edge because of it as well.
Well, and it's cool that you mentioned that, and I'll throw a little subtle plug for myself here on this too, since this is the advisor facing podcast. On my other podcast network, the Wealth Partners Network, which is the network that I put advisor podcasts out for the public. So all of those episodes and podcasts are targeting financial consumers to spotlight the advisors. But I put the Advisor Advocates podcast on that network because a lot of times advisors, when they're when I'm talking to an advisor about starting a podcast, I'll send them to the network to check out other shows that we've done to see, you know, kind of a sample of the work that we do. So the hope there, and I've had this happen a couple of times, is advisors will go over there and find the Advisor Advocates podcast in the process. And then the Advisor Advocates podcast gets another viewer from someone who was just looking to kind of vet the podcast. That incidental cross marketing is it's a subtle thing, but there's a lot of little benefits that you can find from that once in a while, and maybe indirect ways that you might not have been intending to do that, but they are still sort of coincidental to the work you're doing. It's always cool to see those things play out.
Yeah, I mean, the whole purpose, the podcast has been great for us. It's not something that everybody should do. I would say that most people, as long as you're not like completely scared to get on camera, could benefit by having some exposure, at least to being a guest on a podcast. I was a marketing thing we did last year. James and I both were on 10 different other podcasts. It gets us exposure out there as well. And what we're trying to do with our advisors here is we're going to get them on our podcast just so they can kind of have their own kind of marketing piece per se. But if we had an advisor who loved the idea and would be good at it and wanted to do it, we'd expose that and get them to do their own podcast as well.
There's so many different ways nowadays, even if you're not comfortable on camera. I know a lot of advisors and firms are starting to use these AI recorders for meetings to take notes, or AI note takers for their meetings. And, you know, what's interesting to me is some of the best sales lines, if you will, or, you know, if I sit down and try to come up with a catchy marketing slogan, but when I'm just in a conversation like this, something will hit me and I'll say something that's pretty clever off the cuff, or something that it just conveys my message better than when I'm sitting around. So sometimes what you may do, even if you're not comfortable recording a podcast, or you don't know how to start a podcast, or you don't want to start a podcast, just recording yourself in meetings so that you can catch those lines once in a while that you get, you can easily turn that into a sound clip or a short.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And that can be a really low pressure way to come up with some really candid content that's going to, you know, convey your message, because you're in sales mode when you're meeting with a client, right? So you take that process, and if you get some wood on the ball, then save it and put it out to the world. You
know? Yeah, I utilize this group that's helping me get this launched on YouTube, this group, and I just sat in on the founder of the company. His name is Evan Carmichael. And I just sat in on one of his things yesterday. And this is exactly what he was saying. He was like, when you're doing this, keep recording these. And he said, if it's not like great, if it doesn't turn out great, but you've done it for a while, there's going to be these moments where you're just naturally going to kind of have things that happen. And somebody, one of you or them, is going to say something. It's just going to be like kind of the perfect thing. And even if the podcast itself isn't great, you could narrow it down to just taking some of those great nuggets, and they could then be very helpful. So it was just affirming kind of what you were talking about and confirming it.
100%. Well, Ed, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for your time, and hope you have a great rest of your day today and a good Easter weekend. And,
you as well.
Really appreciate you taking the time, man. I enjoyed this.
Yeah, thanks, Garrett. Take care.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Advisor Advocates podcast. Really appreciate it. If I can't help you in any way, please feel free to give me a call at 919-561-2436 or send me an email at garrett@theadvisoradvocates.com, or feel free to use my calendar link, which will be listed in the description below. Thanks again for your time. See you next time.